Welcome back to another episode of Professionals Podcasting.
In this episode, attorney Meredith Spott sits down with paralegal Tammy Sawansky to discuss why it's so important to make a plan and avoid probate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast today. I am Meredith Spott from Bott & Associates, and I'm joined today with one of our esteemed paralegals, Tammy Sawansky. Say hello, Tammy.
Hello. Thank you so much, Meritas.
All right. So what I thought today would be good is to kind of share a little bit about the experience that Tammy had with her mom's estate. One of the reasons why she joined our team is because of this experience. She's kind of had some, she had challenges, but now she kind of knows where the things that could be improved on when it came to her mother's estate. And that's what we try to share with our own prospects and clients, what you can do better so that your family can have an easier experience with when someone passes. Certainly, it's a sad time, it's very emotional. And to add on more complexity and you know, just a mess to that is not worth it if you can avoid it. And that's really been our mantra, is to make sure your family goes through an easy process in the time of death or disability. And you have to do that with intention. You have to do that with planning. You have to do that with doing it while you're still, you know, have your wits and you have your, you know, all the information that you need to make those decisions. So that's what we're here for typically. And so we're going to just go ahead and get started. So Tammy, first of all, I guess, tell us a little bit about, well, tell us first what you do in our office and introduce yourself.
Okay. So once again, my name is Tammy. I help out with the probate here in our office. And yes, the situation with my mother definitely has me passionate about trying to help people avoid probate if possible, and at minimum educating what probate looks like and giving the options to avoid it if they choose to do so. So do you want me just to kind of dive in,
yeah,
Meritessa?
Yeah.
Okay. So my mother died very unexpectedly and very young in the year 2014. She had lived in Nashville for most of her life and actually owned her home. She had a will that was created and completed in the state of Tennessee. She was married for 1 year. They decided to move to Texas. When they moved, she did also have a trust that was in place in the state of Tennessee. For whatever reason, when she moved to Texas, she did not put her home in her trust. Unfortunately, she was only in Texas for 1 month before she passed away. So it was a very short time frame. And she probably assumed that she would get it taken care of. Like I stated, she died very young. So what happened was, I was the executor because I was the oldest child. Her will was not legal in the state of Texas. I still do not know why, or if I do know why, I don't remember why. Because her home wasn't in trust, my brother and I had to go through the estate, the whole probate process. And the state of Texas decided how her estate was divided. And so ultimately, what happened was her husband stayed in the house until he passed away 5 years later. My brother and I were responsible to pay homeowners insurance, homeowners taxes. And then when we were able to sell the house after he passed away, the proceeds were divided 50-50 between his estate and then my brother and myself, because we represented my mom's estate, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I try really hard. I don't think that that's what my mother wanted, because I know what her paperwork stated before she moved to Texas. And if we could have changed the process, I'm sure that she would have changed the process, but unfortunately there just wasn't time.
Yeah. Well, what was her intention, you think, based on your conversations with her?
So she had shared with me, she wanted to make sure that her husband was taken care of. Like, she wanted to make sure that John and I did not like kick him out of the house immediately, but she wanted everything to go between my brother and myself, split 50-50. I mean, that's what she wanted. She wanted to make sure that her husband was taken care of ultimately, but obviously not what happened, basically, in a nutshell. So,
And so when they bought the house in Texas, do you know kind of how, was that something they bought together, her and her husband, or was it something that was really your mom's house for all intents and purposes?
As far as I know that my mother's house in Tennessee was fully paid for. She had lived there for a long time. I'm guessing that she paid for the house in Texas. I don't want to say for sure. I wasn't a part of it, but I'm fairly positive that she funded that house in Texas. Yeah.
So this is something that we talk a lot about and with our own client base, right? The blended family scenario. Mm-hmm. And so we talk a lot about, you know, husband and wife, they're married, they have a couple kids, and one passes. And I talk a lot about, okay, if surviving spouse meets a new person, and then I usually get a giggle, then we have to plan a little more carefully so that the surviving spouse's new person doesn't get the funds accidentally. And that's usually triggers something for usually the women. the men are like, oh, that won't happen. But the women know a little bit differently. So what do you think would be like a good advice for people who are, you know, maybe they're a little naive as to blended family scenarios?
So, I mean, what I can tell you with my own self, after I went through that process, I've been married to my husband for 30 years. After that process was complete, he didn't have an option. We put a trust into place to, my children will never go through what I went through. Pulling out that death certificate is not fun. I mean, it wasn't just the house. We had banking institutions. We have financial institutions. Like every time you pulled out and you had to explain that story. So the second my brother and I finished that process, my husband and I put a trust into place. We're not a blended family. It's not just about blended families. It's making sure that your legacy, whatever you want that to be, is carried forward in the manner that you want it to be, right? So it's not just about blended families. It's really about your legacy and how you want it to be. And for me, I never want my children to go through what I went through because it was already bad, but it was to a whole different level of bad. Yeah. Because of the situation and because paperwork wasn't done. I mean, that's basically what it was. Paperwork was not done properly. She thought she had time. She didn't know how important it was. And you can't go backwards. So my children will not go through that.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly what happens is your mom, it was so unexpected. And you assume you buy your house. I'll get to the transfer of it into the trust eventually. And that's where it's like, okay, we need to just remember that anything can happen to any one of us and we have to just plan accordingly, right? Just put that house in the trust immediately so that your instructions within your trust are followed in the event of your death.
Absolutely.
So that is exactly it. I think, you know, you know, if you went through that, you spent 5 years dealing with it. Not only the money, but the time, the emotional investment. I think there's so much involved. And when I see that, I get so angry at just that, you know, I always wish that I could have been there to help guide that person to do it the right way. And blended families, I always say, is that sometimes it's just accidental. You don't know. You don't know that they're going to get remarried. You don't know, even I say that if a person has a bit of, you know, dementia and they go into a nursing home, and this has happened before in my own client base, and all of a sudden befriends another person and they know that this person has money and then all of a sudden let's get married. That happens and people think I'm crazy, but it does. So I just say, let's just put ironclad plans around your assets. You work so hard to accumulate. I just think of all the sacrifice that people make to accumulate the assets. And then all of a sudden, some very, let's just say, you know, just smart, you know, people that just know they know the game to play to try to win over someone who's not necessarily completely there. I'm not saying that happened with your mom, but I'm saying in general. So when people say, oh, my husband will never get remarried, my wife will never get remarried, that never, I don't even consider that word as, it's, you may not know that someone's conniving you to get married.
It's true. And just, it's kind of connected. The other thing that I strongly encourage is having a conversation with the parties that are involved. I don't know. I knew what my mother's intentions were because we had that conversation, right? Yeah. I just couldn't change it because we were in different states. The house wasn't titled differently. But have those conversations. People don't want to be honest about them, but I think that that's important too, because when the time comes, you really don't want any surprises, because like I said, it was already bad. If I would have known, it probably would have been different, but we didn't know. We really didn't, because it was already stated to us what should have been. And unfortunately, because of law and because of paperwork, that's not what happens. So my recommendation is to have those conversations with your loved ones now while you can. That's important.
Yeah. That's a great point. A lot of people are scared to talk about anything with their family.
Yeah.
Death is obviously something that people are just worried to even talk about. But then secondly, to divulge all their assets information.
Yes.
So that's a touchy subject. I tell people.
I agree.
It's a good to tell your kids, here's what I want. But at what age do you start telling them? You tell them when they're in their 20s and 30s, and then they might be thinking, I'm going to get an inheritance. I don't have to work that hard.
Well, you can state it, you can state it differently without disclosing value. You can say how it's not going to be divided.
I think it's important to at least share what you would want to happen with the estate, and then also what you would want to happen with your health challenge if you were ever to be in a terminal situation, or if you have dementia, what kind of care would you prefer? I think those things are really important conversations.
I agree.
And hopefully what we do provides that education to families to have those conversations.
I agree.
Yeah. Any final thoughts you want to share with, what to do to prevent all this?
No, just, anytime you have a change, like that was a big change. My mother moved states. She bought another house. She should have had whoever her attorney was should have asked the questions. Do you have a trust? This is what we should do. I'm not sure why those questions weren't asked, and I'm not sure why the paperwork wasn't done, but please contact your estate planning attorney. Hopefully it's Meritas, and just make sure that your estate plan is up to date. We do recommend every 3 to 5 years, and there's a reason for that. All kinds of changes can happen within 3 to 5 years. In 1 year of my mom's life, she got married and passed away. So I don't mean to be blunt. It's just what happened to her, and hopefully that won't happen to you, but you want to make sure that your estate planning is set up properly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Tammy. I know it's a big deal, and thank you for watching our video or listening to our podcast today. Hope it gives you some good information to make the right decision for your family and protecting them as well. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.